When I preach, usually I preach with 3 points. And sometimes maybe there may be 4 or 5 or 6 points. And Jenny says, well, whatever you do, don't announce it's 6 points. People would turn off. Well, I'm going to give you 12 bullet points. I just want to read them to you and then very, very briefly speak at the most 10 minutes, hopefully less than that. So I just want to share this. These are charges to us, exhortations. And as we go into 2024, let's take the words of Scripture seriously. So I want to read to you from Romans chapter 12, verses 9 to 13. There's verses before this that we could read. There's verses after this that we could read. But I just want us to listen to these verses, Romans 12, 9 to 13. And they're really 12 bullet points, and you could spend a sermon on each of them. First of all, we learn this. Let love be without hypocrisy. Romans 12, 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honour, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Now, many times we've said in this church that Christianity is not morality. We don't preach, do good, be kind, and God will be pleased with you. We never preach that. We never preach, keep the Ten Commandments, and you're going to heaven. We don't preach morality. We're all sinners. We preach Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who lived for us a perfect life and died on the cross for us to cleanse us of all of our sins. And our trust is in him. And we go to heaven because his shed blood for us paid for all of our sins. We've repented and we're trusting in him. And it's by grace that we're saved through faith. That's what we preach. But the Bible says that as Christians, there's a way to live. And here are 12 exhortations for us. First of all, let love be without hypocrisy. Now, it's a wonderful privilege as a Christian to have that command to love. That's not an irksome thing. That's not a difficult thing. In the sense that it's something that we want to do as Christians. We want to love God and we want to love our fellow man. But sometimes loving is hard. If somebody hurts you, it's hard to love them. Some people you find easy to talk to. You don't find them offensive, difficult. They're kind to you and you find them easy to love. Other people are harder to love. But Jesus said, love your enemies. And when we're to love, we're never to love in a false way. The Bible says, let love be without hypocrisy. We're not to put on a mask. We're not to put on a false smile. We're not to pretend. We're to be genuine. And so when we find it difficult to love people, we say, Lord, help me to love that person. I find it hard. May I remember your love for me that never fails. And Lord, I'm choosing to love that person. Give me grace to love that person sincerely. First of all, that's our first bullet point. Let love be without hypocrisy. Secondly, abhor what is evil. We see so much evil on the television screen that we can become accustomed to it. We hear so much that is wrong that it almost becomes normalized. And there's so much lowering today of the standards of God's word that we, instead of hating evil, can become tolerant with evil. And in 2024, there's that positive word, love, but there's also that negative word, hate. Abhor what is evil. Jesus Christ, he loved righteousness, but he hated wickedness. And God was pleased with him. And the love of God was poured out in him in a way that will never be poured out in our lives. But we're to follow his example. First, love. Second, abhor. Hate what is evil. Thirdly, cling to what is good. How do we cling to what is good? We need to know what is good. How do we know what is good? We read the Bible. In 2024, make it your aim to read the Bible every day. It will tell you about the character of God. It'll tell you about those things that are lovely and noble, the things that we are to meditate on. And make it your aim to be friends with Christians. Spurgeon said this: keep the best company. If you keep the worst company, bad company corrupts often, doesn't it? Now, of course, we're to be friends of sinners and we're to love people. But the best company ought to be Christian company. Spurgeon says, keep the best company. Be much with those who are much with God. Let them be thy choicest companions who've made Christ their choicest companion. That's a challenge for us, isn't it? 2024, find a good Christian who's walking closely with the Lord. Spend time with that person. You may want to go out witnessing with them. You may want to spend time in prayer with them, or just generally having fellowship with them. So we read here, cling to what is good. Think of ways which will help you to cling onto those things that are good. Be much in the word of prayer, much in the word of God, and have good Christian friends. Then we read this: be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. Some say that the Welsh may be better at this than the English. Warmer. I don't know. But is it part of the Welsh temperament to show that warmth? But as Christians, it ought to be, shouldn't it? We ought to be affectionate. It says in the scriptures, give a holy kiss. Well, that was a cultural thing then. But what is an appropriate way to show love? There are many ways in which we can show love and show warmth. And that's important. Our Christianity should be cold and standoffish, should it? We're all different temperaments. Some of us are more clinical in their thinking. Some of us are real activists. I identify more with that side. But you know, the other side of really showing warm love, that's important. The next, it says this: in honour, giving preference to one another. I found that tonight, some of you, I had to say, would you be willing to speak? Because when you say, will people come forward, usually you find that most people are too timid and only last minute will say something. But numbers of you, I said, will you speak? Oh, well, if there's somebody else better to speak, please let them speak. And that's a good thing, isn't it? In honour, giving preference to others. We need to seek to do that continually, putting other people before ourselves. Then we read this: not lagging in diligence. We're already on the sixth one, so not far to go. Not lagging in diligence. Serving God to the best of your ability. Not procrastinating, not putting things off, not leaving things, but whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Give your best to the Lord. Be diligent. Proverbs says that the plans of the diligent prosper. Alan was speaking to us on Wednesday night. Sow your seed in the morning and in the evening. Do not withhold your hand, because you do not know which will prosper, whether this or that, or whether both alike will be good. A hard-working farmer, he's blessed when he is hard-working. And when we're diligent, God blesses us. We're to sow liberally that we would reap liberally. I've been reading a book called The Wolf from Scotland about really the first missionary to Brazil. But he spent some time in the West Indies. And his wife was a very gifted lady in many ways. And she said, these people don't need know how to sing. So she spent 2 months teaching the churches how to sing to the honour and to the praise of God. It's interesting, isn't it? We want the best singing, the best playing. We want everything to be done well for God's glory and his praise. We want to be diligent. Then what do we read here? Be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. In order to get 12 and not 13, I put these two together in verse 11. Are we fervent? The Bible says we're not to be hot. Sorry, we're not to be hot. We're not to be cold and we're not to be warm, but we are to be hot. Are we fervent? God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. We need to remind ourselves of that. We haven't been given a spirit of timidity. That's not what God has given us. Our temperaments may be timid at times, but God has not given us a spirit of fear. But he's given us a spirit of love and of power and of a sound mind. If that's what God has given us, we've got every reason to serve the Lord fervently. Sometimes that fire needs to be fanned into flame. Paul said that to Timothy, didn't he? Fan into flame the gift that has been given to you. Serving the Lord. What ways can we serve the Lord? We can serve the Lord in helping others. Some of you have got the gift of helps. You love to help. You're always there helping. How can you serve the Lord? Some of you have got the gift of encouragement. You're like a Barnabas. You know how to edify others. Some of you have got the gift of giving. The church has been blessed here in Tabor in giving to missionary work. We need to encourage that. That young couple who are receiving, I told them over WhatsApp, you're receiving 140,000 mechikais from Tabor Baptist Church. And they responded, "We have no words to thank you." We can be a blessing to other churches and other people through our giving. Serve the Lord at work. Serve the Lord in your family. Serve the Lord in the church. So that's a seventh charge that God gives us. Be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Eighth, rejoice in hope. Do you need to be told to rejoice? We all need to be told to rejoice because sometimes we find it very difficult to rejoice. Yet the scripture says, rejoice in the Lord always. Now these are commands of God. And sometimes when you hear the word command, you feel a bit constrained. This is difficult if it's a command. But the Bible says that the commandments of the Lord are not burdensome. And surely this isn't burdensome. This isn't meant to weigh you down when you're told to rejoice. You say, but I can't rejoice. And the Lord says, but offer sacrifice of praise. Joy will come. Seek him. Know his blessing. Rejoice in hope. Think of what we have ahead of us. He's planned good works for us to walk in. He's planned glory for us. Rejoice in hope. Expect get great things from God. Attempt great things for him. Rejoice in hope. And then ninthly, be patient in tribulation. Some things in the Christian life are active and other things are passive. Sometimes we think that the active things are more important than the passive things. But to be patient is a great gift of God. To be patient in trials. If God has great things in store for us, well, that usually means persecution and difficulty. That's usually what happens. I was joking today because apparently you can get up above this ceiling and Lynn was saying, Robert was saying you can actually stand up and walk inside there. And I was saying, well, it'd be a good place to hide if we were being persecuted. But patient in tribulation. We need to know that perseverance, trusting God, continuing on, not complaining, being patient. Then tenthly, continue steadfastly in prayer. How do you continue in prayer? Well, you can say, I'll pray in the morning and I'll pray at night. That's a good discipline. But let's ask the Lord to help us throughout the day to offer our own prayers to God. Lord, help me. Lord, give me the words in this situation. Lord, give me wisdom. I don't know what to do. Show me the way. Continually praying to him. Arrow prayers to God. Speaking to God all the time. And asking the Lord to give us longer periods of prayer. And when you feel like praying, pray. Because many times we don't. The flesh resists prayer. The more spiritual the exercise is, the more difficult it is for us. So when you feel that you really want to pray, give yourself more time to pray. Continue steadfastly. That means don't give up. Continue steadfastly in prayer. There's all sorts of prayers that you can pray. all sorts of people that you can pray for. Do you ever go home and visualize where people sit in this church? Because it's easy to do, because most people always sit in the same seat. And if you visualize them, you can go through them and pray for them one by one. I often do that. And I think, have I missed anybody out? And then you go back. Sometimes it's difficult to pray, but if you visualize the people, pray in that way. And then we read this, distributing to the needs of the saints. There's people who are not Christians, and the Bible says, do good to all. And Tony's brought before us this night the opportunities to bring an old suitcase and some clothes, and they can go to people in Kenya. But let's not forget let's not forget Christians, the saints, the people in need, who need our help. And that can be in all sorts of different ways. And then lastly, given to hospitality. Sometimes we think that that's just for the elders, because that's one of the qualifications of an elder, to be given to hospitality. And sometimes we think that hospitality means having to give a lot of food or give somebody to stay overnight. But it isn't that. Given to hospitality is for all Christians. That might mean having somebody around for a coffee and a cake. It doesn't mean that you have to give a lot. Some of you are gifted and able to give food or even a bed at night. But hospitality, having people in your home or meeting up with them and caring for them, is really important. The scripture mentions in Hebrews 13 that some of you have entertained angels in so doing. So let's pray that we'll be those who not only come to church on a Sunday, or those who not only are involved in events that the church does, but we use our homes and we're given to hospitality. So there you have those 12 bullet points, and may that be something that's a challenge and encouragement to each one of us for 2024.